flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, when it comes to dining, we love to talk about food here on the Hawk and Tom Show. But have you thought about where you sit when you go to a restaurant that possibly has like a salad buffet or just a buffet in general?
I mean, usually where they sit you, right?
Well, no. A lot of times you get to pick your own seat.
I like to pick my own seat, but I like people to pick my seat for me sometimes.
I've seen you pick your seat.
There's two meanings to that. Okay.
Dirty.
So when dining at buffets, the bigger people, all right, they actually serve themselves and eat differently than people that weigh less than them. I don't know who did this research, but it's true. So what do they do? People actually sit closer to the food if they weigh a little bit more. So if Tom and I were to go to a restaurant, he's going to sit closer to the food. You see him, too, like when we have parties here. He's always sitting close to the food.
But I do, too, and it's so that it's not as obvious when I get up so I don't get as judged for going back for my fourth plate.
Okay.
I sit there so I don't have to walk as far for the only thing that interests me at this particular gathering.
There you go. They also face the food. They want to see, like... You know, they're probably over there judging, like, look, he's going to get that last rib. I better hurry up and eat this.
You're wrong.
Yeah, you got to wait for the new stuff to come out. You got to keep an eye on it.
Exactly. You're looking for fresh food, yeah. And you're also looking at what people are getting and seeing if it looks good or not.
Mm-hmm. See, I'll be up here going, oh, my God, look, he's got dirty hands. Oh, he just dropped that spoon and picked it back up, put it back in there. Look at that kid standing right there at that sneeze guard. Picking up a piece of chicken with his hands.
Okay. Probably better look the other way.
I usually sit further away because usually places like that, it gets crowded around the food bar, and yeah. I don't like the crowd around my table.
Okay.
So I'll get further away.
So facing the buffet, according to this study, 27% of normal weight people face the buffet. 42% of the people that weigh more actually do that.
What I want to know is who wasted money and time doing this study.
Yeah, I know. You don't even hardly need that.
Golden Corral.
Okay, sitting further from the buffet. On average, the heavier people sit 16 feet closer to the buffet than normal weight people. Mm. That's, I guess, Tom, you're talking about walking.
So if I'm 17 feet away, then I'm still pretty close, but not close enough.
You're not as judged.
Okay. I'm gonna sit there and step it out next time.
All right. Do you like to sit in a booth? I have some bigger friends. They're taller and bigger like football players. They hate sitting in a booth. So we always have to sit at a table when I go out with them.
I don't mind it as long as like it's only four people. But
yeah.
You get those booths that are like curved
yeah.
and you can fit like eight people in there.
Uh-huh.
I don't like that because I always get stuck in the middle. And then I'm like, I'm going to have to...
Climb underneath.
Yeah. I'll climb over or all six okay. people are going to move for hey, me. But I don't... I'd rather sit at a table.
Like
at that
y'all
point.
Don't get up. I'll just crawl, army crawl underneath the table.
That happened recently, but it wasn't one of those booths. They just had a lot of tables lined up.
Okay.
And I'm like, I can't get out. And I'm like, you know, I might just climb under the table.
All right. Sit at a booth. 38% of normal weight people sit at a booth, which are harder to get in and out of, they say. And 16% of the people that weigh more sit in the booth. So they choose the table and chairs.
I don't weigh that much. I don't like table and chairs as much as the booth. Yeah. I think you're pretty big if you can't fit in a booth.
Yeah, but if I'm at a buffet, I don't want to sit in a booth because, like Cato was saying, you got to figure out a way to get out.
No, you sit at the other end. You sit at one of the end seats.
But somebody's got to sit in the middle.
That's their problem.
Okay. How about browsing the food choices before piling them on your plate? 71% of normal weight people actually browse the entire buffet before choosing their food. Well, just 1 in 3 people that weigh more do that.
Why would you need to do that? You just take what you like as you see it.
Okay.
And then you pile it on.
This is making me realize I might have an unhealthy relationship with food.
To me, it's not like you have a healthy relationship with food. You're very attracted.
I was going to say, I think we're a little too close.
Yeah. How many plates do you use when you go to the buffet?
Well, you're supposed to get a clean one every time.
Mm-hmm. And I agree. I hate to see when people bring their nasty plate up there and they're piling, they're putting their tongs on that nasty plate.
They usually won't let them do that.
Well, yeah, there's no buffet bouncer up there going, hey, say, you can't be doing that right there.
Most places I've been do, but I go to a lot of those Mexican all-you-can-eat resorts. They got somebody there watching for that.
Oh, okay.
They'll be like, here, let me get you a new plate.
I'm just thinking like it's some of the salad bars out there.
Yeah. I don't go to buffets often. Oh, I overeat. I overeat when I go to
tell me about this word.
I don't like overeating. I don't like to feel miserable.
The last time I went to a buffet, I watched a man cough into his hand and then grab the ladle, scoop into his pre-used bowl, because you could see the remnants of what he had before. The ladle touched the bowl as he was pouring it out, and then he put it back into the main thing and then back into his bowl. And I was like, I'll never go back to another buffet.
Yeah.
Because this was a grown-up. This wasn't even a kid, so he should know better.
Man, you think people know better? People are idiots.
I just think everybody thinks their germs aren't germy.
Now, what would give you that idea?
he just had a little extra salad dressing right there. That's all he had after he sneezed or coughed.
Yeah, it wasn't green before he got there.
Okay. I'm sure he covered his mouth when he coughed,
his hand and then touched the ladle.
Oh, God.
Let's say you're at a Chinese buffet. Do you use the chopsticks? Normal weight people are 2.5 times more likely to use chopsticks at the buffet than people that weigh more than them.
I use chopsticks. To me, it's a matter of pride. Whoa. I learned how to use them. I'm going to show people
I use a fork.
Of course you do.
But see, the Chinese buffet, they have a lot of a variety of food. American food, sometimes they have crab legs. It's going to be harder to. And if I'm at a sushi restaurant, I will use chopsticks. But I think if I go to a Chinese buffet, I'm getting like corn and rice and green beans. And
I ate my corn with chopsticks. Slow.
Yeah, one piece at a time. Trying to get one little piece of corn nibble on there. So, like Tom said, I don't even know if we needed this research, but I thought it was very interesting. You just notice next time you're out at a buffet, take note all around you, they say. Also, if you are like overweight, here's a little tip for you. They say avoid all-you-can-eat buffets like the plague. It's kind of like sending an alcoholic to a bar.
Let me live my life how I want.
I thought it was more about the plague, based on what Tori said.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're going to catch the plague. Avoid them like the plague, because you'll catch the plague.
There's a reason those sneeze guards are up, y'all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I told you, I was at a buffet once, and they have a chocolate fountain, and the kids were sticking their fingers under the fountain and licking their fingers and putting it right back and licking it.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what I would have done?
I got ice cream.
I would have walked over there and I would have run my finger through that fountain and splashed it onto their faces.
Just through your whole hand.
Whole hand.
Yeah.
It's
just
not worth it.
Just go, splash, and the parents come over and I'll be like, I'm so sorry. I was just trying to get a little on my hand to eat it.
Yeah.
Like your kids were.
I would have cut my hand like I was out in the desert and I found like a stream of water and just got a cup of chocolate and drunk it. Or would it be drank? Drunk or drank?
I don't know. You'd have to be drunk to drink it.
You know, to do that.
Yeah.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
It's time for Nerd News.
Nerd News. Nerd News. Nerd News. Nerd News with Tom. Yeah.
We're going to start right off with controversial. There is a good chance that every one of us is an alien.
Oh, okay.
It turns out scientists found the, quote, building blocks of life in samples brought back from an asteroid. They say this is the strongest evidence yet that asteroids could have brought the building blocks for life to Earth and caused everything to happen.
So why those pyramids are there?
Nothing to do with the pyramids.
I saw Stargate.
It's like Lincoln logs. That's what Legos
is Legos.
Now, obviously, if you're religious, this isn't going to fly with you. But for scientific reasons, they're saying this could be where the building blocks for life came from.
Someone actually asked me about that the other day. Like, do you think there's aliens? Because they know my beliefs. And I'm like, you know, I don't rightly know. Because they said, well, it's not in the Bible. And don't you think God would have put aliens in the Bible? I'm like, well, maybe there's another alien Bible somewhere out there in the universe with a different way to get there.
Yeah, without getting too technical, there's a good strong chance humanity is never leaving the solar system. So it wouldn't matter if there were aliens in other solar systems far away, because we're not likely to ever see each other. Plus, with the lifespan of species and stuff, there's a chance that aliens could have existed 10 million years ago and died off already, and we just never crossed paths because we lived in different eons.
Well, you look at the internet, there's a lot of aliens out there, just suspicious people. Like, that ain't right.
Well, let's talk.
They're different than us.
Yeah. Let's talk about one of them.
Okay.
Elon Musk.
Okay.
President Trump has asked Elon Musk and SpaceX to go rescue the two astronauts that have been stuck on the space station since June of last year.
That's cool.
Yeah, you know, they've been up there, and they were going to try to come back on the Blue Horizon ship that was up there, and they weren't comfortable with its safety record. So they stayed on the space station, but they've been up there far longer than they had planned to. Mm-hmm.
Imagine building something that is so rickety that they're like, no, I'll stay in space instead.
Well,
I'm not getting on that.
Yeah. The Blue Horizon ships hadn't had enough successful launches yet for them to trust it. It actually did return safely. They could have hitched a ride home on it, but they weren't sure enough.
I don't think just open the door on the studio that they're in.
Conspiracy theorist over here.
Yeah, out in Arizona desert. Area 51 studio.
Anyway, next up, a fossil hunter in Denmark found a pile of 66 million year old puke.
Ooh.
They think a fish barfed it up, and it happened in the Cretaceous period. It had some sort of sea lilies in it, and apparently the sea lilies don't have a lot of nutrition, so the fish would eat them, dissolve the leaves, but spit up the stalks.
Kind of like your dog does.
Exactly
eating
like
grass.
Exactly like that.
Yeah. Well, why my dog goes up there and starts eating grass?
66 million years later, your dog is doing what a fish did in the Cretaceous period.
And someday, some archaeologist is going to be like, look at this vomit.
It's from the... from the internet period.
From the canine dynasty.
Look. And the other creature was holding her hair. What happened?
Okay. That creature is a good friend.
Yes.
In shopping news, a study found that grocery stores make more money if they sell beer. Not so much from the beer, but because they sell more snacks, cheese, deli meat, and soda if they sell beer.
Yeah. And if they set up a bar where you can actually drink while you shop,
they sell a lot more. Kato knows.
If you actually remember to shop, and you just don't cash out and go home, and like, well, my goodness, I didn't even buy any groceries while I was there.
I know where you go, you do get to drink. Do they have cup holders on the carts? Okay.
They had shirts made that says, my shopping cart has cup holders.
Yes. All right.
That's good.
This is news of things that shouldn't have ever happened to begin with, but apparently a group, and let me make sure I get the location right, in China, they armed a drone and a robot dog with fireworks and let them attack each other. It was quite terrifying to watch two robots shooting at each other with fireworks, and the drone is running or flying around, and the dog-looking robot is on the ground, and they're shooting these fireworks at each other in what is going to be a preview to the end of humanity.
Mm-hmm. I would like to see that.
Who won?
Well, you know what? That is a good question. I don't know if either of them actually won, since it was just fireworks. I don't know if either of them killed each other, but they both were shooting and hitting each other quite a bit.
They better not have killed the dog.
Well, it's a weird looking dog. It's got a big gun on its back.
Yeah, it's the robot dog. Robot dog. I saw somewhere like they had some kind of competition where they put two robots and they did the three-legged man race or robot race, and it broke a record like... they tied the robot's legs together.
I haven't heard of a three-legged race, and so like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to grab my friends this weekend. We're going to have a three-legged race.
There you go.
And finally, good news for dumb people.
Okay.
Maybe. A study found dementia hits harder if you're well-educated. Patients typically survive for 10 years once they're diagnosed, but it drops by about a year if you've been to college. However, they think that it's possible that when you are educated and been to college, you may just be smarter and able to hide the symptoms. Oh. So it seems like you have less time from when the symptoms show up. But really, you hid the symptoms for at least a year before they started counting. So it may not be worse on you. You may just not suffer as much at first.
I'll say.
So smart people get Alzheimer's is what you're saying.
Not at all. I'm saying anyone can get it, but it seems like you get dead faster if you have the college degree.
Oh, gotcha. I'll be honest. Ignorance is bliss. It's a great way to live life sometimes.
Okay, but it's tough on everyone around you.
All right, nerd news. Nerd news. Nerd news with Tom.
Yep.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, this is not a blonde joke at all. It's actually a true story. I actually watched the video of it.
Okay.
And it is comical. There is a twist at the end. This lady, her name is Sabrina. She was blonde, just to let you know.
I got that.
She was arrested after allegedly throwing a brick through her ex-husband's window. And here's the police officers talking to her.
You're the one banging on here?
Yeah, I'm trying to get in touch with my ex-husband. I banged on the door because he won't let me in.
You live here or no? Did you launch anything in there?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
If you cannot afford a lawyer.
For what? Wait.
For breaking the window with a brick?
I didn't break the window.
We'll speak about that now.
I did not break the window.
If you want to speak to me about it, we can, but I have to read you the same rights.
Yes, I want to speak with you. Yes, I want to speak with you. I did not break the
window. Give me a second so I can read your rights and then we'll go from there, okay?
Wait, officer. Yeah, officer. I did not break the window.
Okay. She didn't break the window, so she says. Mm-hmm. There's actual video of her throwing the brick through the window. And it gets even worse, okay? On the brick, it had a message on it commemorating their first date.
Wow.
Coincidental evidence.
Who wrote that? How did that get there? But it was so funny. She so denied it, and it keeps repeating her throwing the brick.
Oh, that's funny.
Through the window.
People are so stupid because everything is on somebody's doorbell camera now.
Yep.
Like, if you go, I watched a video. This guy comes up. He's wearing one of the COVID masks.
Uh-huh.
And he sets a box on this car, lights it on fire, and it goes up in flames and burns the whole car.
Mm-hmm.
So he apparently walks a few blocks away, lays down in a car, and acts like he's sleeping. And they come up, and they get up, and they're like, hey, is that you? And he's like, no. And they're like, well, the video has a guy dressed in the exact same clothes as you. Do you want to admit to anything? No, I would never do anything like that.
Uh-huh.
So then the police dog walks from the house to where he is and finds him and sniffs at him. And then they find a bag with a mask and gloves right beside his car.
Oh, wow.
And he's denying it the whole time. I'm like, and of course, they've got Ring doorbells going, showing him walking from his car. To the place. I'm like, what are they thinking?
This is when I couldn't do like real crime kind of stuff because I always cave. Even when I was a teenager, my mom would keep asking me and I'd be like, okay, fine. Yeah, I did it. Well, like, I just can't keep up with it.
I wasn't. I was the guy who actually, I was involved in a bike theft ring when I was a kid.
A bike theft ring?
Okay,
that's
so
intense.
We've heard the story.
We went out one night and someone dared someone to steal a bike and then everyone had to steal one to prove they were cool. And so I stole one bike, right? Well, cops kept taking us in during the year, and they'd ask questions, and they would find out a little more about one of the bikes and so on. And I was the last one. I was lying all the way to the end. I was covering for my buddies.
Oh, yeah, because then you got caught because you said which tire was flat, right?
No, I didn't get caught.
That's a different story he tells.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This one was because one of my friends finally said, you know what, we're going to keep getting called in all year long. Let's just go and admit to everything. And they said, should we bring Tommy with us? And they said, no. He'll talk us out of it. So they went and told the truth, narking me out, and I finally got in trouble for it.
You're bragging about being mischievous and unethical and lying.
No, I'm bragging about being honorable.
Loyal.
They say there's no honor among thieves, but I was honorable. There I did not go. Nark my buddies out.
What's the statute of limitations on that?
I got
bike?
Arrested for it.
Oh,
yeah. I already served my... I had to do that scared straight
that's
thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
The guy, he's yelling. He's still waiting for me in jail.
You've been on the straight and narrow ever since.
Oh yeah,
huh?
I won't steal gum now.
Well, quick question: it was a person, your bike ringleader, was he blonde by chance, who came up with this idea to steal all the bicycles?
I think he was.
Maybe that's why we need Blonde Star to help out the blondes in the world.
The following conversation is real. It took place on Tuesday, June 8th, between a Blonde Star advisor and a subscriber.
Blonde Star emergency. This is Steve. Is there an emergency in your vehicle?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I've locked myself in my car, and the keys are on the outside.
Ma'am.
Oh, my God.
Ma'am, I need you to calm down.
Okay. It's just that the windows are rolled up, and I'm starting to sweat. My keys are on the outside.
Now, your keys are on the outside of the vehicle?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Now, does your car have automatic locks, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Here's what I need you to do. Take hold of the inside of your door handle there. Are you doing this? The shiny thing. Grab the shiny thing.
Okay, I've got it.
Okay, now give that a tug.
Okay.
Did it open?
Yes, oh my God, thank you.
Okay, now what is that noise?
Oh, that's my door alarm.
Yeah, but that only happens if the keys are in the ignition, hun.
Oh my God, you know what?
Your keys are actually in your ignition.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God, thank you so much, Blonde Star.
That's why we're here. Do you need anything else?
Blonde Star.
No, that's
always
it.
On. Because you're always blonde.
Not to offend anybody that's blonde listening to us.
Oh, don't worry. They won't get it.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Well, when it comes to closet, the women say the bigger, the better.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a lot of things women say that about.
But when it comes to closets, the girls love those big closets. And a lot of times they will steal your closet space if the closet's not big enough.
The house we live in now, I think we bought because my wife loved the master closet so much. I think that was the selling point for her.
It's not stolen space if it was unused space. I'm just making practical use of the dead space in the closet.
My wife stole space.
Mm-hmm.
She literally took space I was using and now it's hers.
Well, there's some things you might be doing wrong with your closet. I have closet mistakes this morning. They say avoid wire hangers. And not... Okay.
Everyone laughs because you think of that old movie. What was that called?
Mommy Dearest. Yeah.
And the lady was screaming, no wire hangers.
Hangers! Well, they say avoid wire hangers, and not just because they look cheap. The plastic ones apparently look fancier than the wire hangers.
I hate plastic hangers.
I like them. They got the little hooks on the end sometimes now, so my straps don't fall down and I have to pick them up.
What spaghetti strap tops you wear?
It's easier to hang
in a closet.
You
need to come out of that closet.
Sometimes those little straps get stuck. It's funny.
What? Straps do?
Sorry, I said sometimes the little straps get stuck as you're trying to pull stuff out. It's so irritating.
It is.
I'm sorry, but they're thicker. They don't work well in hanging bags. They break easily.
I disagree.
What do you mean you disagree? It's a fact.
I like plastic ones better, way better.
I agree with you about the hanging bags. If you're having to travel and carry hang-up clothes, it is a lot easier with the wires. But I also have all
plastic.
I have wire hangers if I need them, but I mainly use plastic.
They say
the wooden ones.
You know what else? You can't get into a car with a plastic hanger.
Okay,
yeah,
thanks.
That's kind of hard.
A wire stretches clothes and can actually split the shoulder seams. Is one reason why don't use the wire hangers.
Never in my life have I had a shoulder seam split.
Also, you get those shoulder nipples, on your clothes.
I like those.
You got a little bitty.
Don't play with it.
You got like a little bitty. I don't know.
They're hanger nipples.
Hanger nipples. Yes. You go and it's almost like you got spikes or something on your shoulders.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
It actually is annoying.
Another closet mistake. They say don't store shoes in a basket or don't store shoes loose on the bottom of the closet. Instead of get like a shoe rack, if you can get one in there. It lets your footwear breathe, and it prevents you from tripping all over your shoes when you're in the closet, which they say also, if your footwear breathes, the leather doesn't dry out on your shoes. So you want to not just clump them all in a basket in your closet.
I mean, this is basic stuff right there.
Well, maybe for you, but some people may not know this, Tom.
Then they're stupid.
If I looked over and saw my shoes breathing, I would
freak me out, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to stick around.
Imagine taking your shoe off and it's like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was a tough night right there.
That's what it would do, too.
I didn't think I was going to make it.
You're hurting my soul.
your soul.
You get it?
I get it.
All right. Last closet mistake you may be making. They say never keep the hamper in your closet.
I do.
Dirty clothes hamper, that funky smell will get transferred onto your clean clothes.
Well,
if you got funky
downy
smells.
Sheets in there, too.
Okay. I got those little cedar chips you can put in there, too.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. They come on little hangers.
Yeah. Wire or plastic?
Not either.
You also got the little old bottle of the scented incense that with the sticks that stick out of that little ink bottle that you can put in your closet. I do that.
You just sprayed clothes with Lysol? Does that work?
No.
Oh, but Febreze does.
Okay. But you get a funky smell if you keep your hamper in the closet. And they say, you know, you may want to move it to a different place that's, you know, like a bathroom, I guess, that you expect funky smells
put
there.
Put it in your living room.
There you go.
Or the pantry.
But yeah. Put it next to your front door, and people can come in and say, hey, what's that funky smell? It's like, that's my dirty clothes hamper right there. I would have cleaned up if you'd known you were coming.
I feel like ever since the internet let anyone write an article and act like they're a writer, we get some stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm. I don't know everything about the world, because I read that, and I'm like, you know what? There's a couple good ideas there.
I agree with them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the hamper thing's easy to figure out. If it didn't stink before you put it in there, and then suddenly you walk into your closet and you're like, oh my gosh.
But how bad is your clothes stink?
Exactly. We have ours. I don't know if you call it a hamper. It's just one of those big laundry baskets, and that's what we throw our dirty clothes in, and it doesn't cause anything to stink.
Yeah, but some people actually work out. And then maybe they get a little stinky, or maybe it's their job.
Oh, that's their own fault.
It's not a walk-in closet. It's just like, you know what? You slide the door
open. That's mine. I don't have a walk-in.
There you go. And you got dirty, stinky clothes in there.
I do.
You know what? It's like putting your kitchen garbage can in the pantry.
That's just
where
gross.
It gets cold.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.